Okay, so my name is Tim Owen Jones and I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust and the One Another Project in Trafalgar Square, London. It's the 15th of September 2009 and the time is approximately 25 past 11. Can you tell me please your name, your age and where you come from?
My name is Kerry Squares. I am 35 and I originally come from South Africa, but I'm a British citizen because my parents are British. I'm a single mum. I have a 12-year-old son named Tegan Storm. I work for the Wellcome Trust Genome Campus. I am a research assistant. I have four cats, two Siamese, one Burmese and one Moggy. I have three sugar gliders, which are little marsupials, which are very nocturnal and very noisy. And a 6-foot tropical fish tank. I enjoy reading. I love arts. I love painting. My favorite medium to use is oils because it's so easy if you make a mistake to fix it. I have one sister. Her name's Taryn. There's 5 years between us and she is just absolutely amazing. She also works at the Wellcome Trust Genome Center. What else can I tell you? I drive a Mini. My reason for being on the plinth today is because my best friend Rachel, who is here with me today, we're trying to do as many things possible in our lifetime. And just recently I've been relatively ill. I had my gallbladder removed and there was some nerve damage, so for quite a few months I was not able to move around and do stuff for myself, and now that I'm better I am making the most of it. I originally was going to make pancakes on the plinth, but due to health and safety reasons I can't. So I'm going to do balloon blessings, and the reason I've called them balloon blessings is because I've put a name of a person on the balloon that is important to me, and I'm sending them good karma. What else would you like to know?
That's great, no thank you. When did you find out about the One Another Project?
Rachel, actually. She has a canny ability of finding really crazy things to do. For example, she wants to join the conker tournament. So she was the one who suggested that we did it. So her name is actually in the lottery. So I'm hoping that at some point that she does get picked to go on the plinth. But if she doesn't, she's here supporting me and she's just as excited as I am. So it's really good.
So tell us more then about what your initial thoughts were about getting inspired to get involved. You said you want to grab opportunities as and when they arise.
Well, I think this is a really phenomenal project. It's one of those things that will go down and will stay in history, and people will talk about it for a long time. And watching other people do all sorts of different things and being creative on their own, even though that this is Anton's project, it is still a creative initiative that they're adding to his masterpiece, which I think is really phenomenal, because watching people is brilliant because they're so unique and individual. So I'm very honored to be part of it.
And how about the place, Trafalgar Square in the center of London? What's the significance importance of that to you?
I love Trafalgar Square. It's always beautiful, and it's always clean, and there's always so many different people walking in and out through Trafalgar Square, and it doesn't matter what time of day or night it is, there's always activities to watch, so I do enjoy being in Trafalgar Square.
And how about then, where is it you live? You live in London?
No, I don't. I live in Great Chesterford, so it's just outside Cambridge.
Okay, great.
It's just a little village.
And how did you arrive there?
How did I arrive there? At the time, it was one of the best schools in the country. So when I was relocating, the school was one of the best, so I ended up on that side.
And how does life in the UK compare to South Africa?
It's difficult to compare them because they're so different. The cultures are different as well. The weather is very different too. But they both equally have really good strong points to them. And like everything, it has a flip side. There are some bad things to everything. So, I mean, I do love being in England. I mean, there are lots of opportunities like this one that have arisen, you know, for me to do things with my life. So I don't regret being in England at all. And obviously because I have my family's roots are here. So it's like home away from home. And I've been here for over 10 years, so it's home.
And what would you say are the best parts of it? Which are which aspects of living in Britain, in the UK, do you most enjoy and why?
Definitely the arts and music. It's so much easier to access those things. So if you wanted to go see a concert, there are so many concerts to go see. Or if you wanted to go to the art galleries, there are so many of them. And there are so many other little projects that go on all over the place that, and they're easy to access them. So you get to see a lot more cultural-wise, I think, than I would at home, because obviously it's a lot further apart. So, yeah.
And how about the parts of home that you miss? Can you talk a little bit about those?
I miss the country, the changes in the season, the different climates as you go from one province to another, the animals. Because they're so much bigger. I'm not saying that they're any better than the ones in England, but they are bigger. You know, you have your lions, your rhinos, your ostriches, and your zebras, and your giraffes. Whereas here, it's a lot smaller, and it's a lot harder to see. Whereas at home, you kind of go to game parks and stuff, and you can see them. Whereas here, you have to go to either the nature reserves or the zoos to see them. And I love animals, I think they're amazing, so that I think I miss. And the sea is very different in South Africa. The sea is beautiful. I think I was really, really spoiled at home, and then when I came here and we decided to go to the seaside and it was just flat, it was just like, this is not a sea. So no, the sea, I miss the sea.
And can you expand then on your passion for animals? You mentioned you've got quite a lot of pets as well. Can you tell us some of the stories about how you found some of your pets?
My friends call it a zoo in my house because I have so many. I've had various different animals. I've had an African pygmy hedgehog. I've had rats. I've had bearded dragons. We've had stick insects, praying mantises. You name it, if we can have it, I'll have it. I think one of my all-time wishes would be to own an otter farm, because I think otters are beautiful. I really love otters. And part of one of the Wellcome Trust's sort of little fundings, they actually have like the wetlands on the Genome campus, and they've built a couple of otter holts there. I haven't seen any otters, but you know, there have been markings that they've been there, so that's really exciting. My cats are very unique. The littlest one, his name is Hades. He's a little Burmese. He came second in the Burmese cat show in April when I got him. He is very, very naughty. Very boisterous, very outgoing. Then the two Siamese, they're brother and sister. One is called Mogget, and the other one's called Eva. Eva is really, really shy and timid, and she's a tiny little white one. She's very dainty. Mogget is very jealous, loves attention, but he's also a little bit quiet, so he's not like the Burmese. And then the little Moggy belongs to my son Tegan, and her name is Indiana Fishbones. And we've had her for about 8 years, and she's just a little old lady, really. She's really sweet. My sugar gliders are called Pixie, Sprite, and Spice. They are hand-reared, because when I got them, the little mum, she was carrying the little babies, which are called Joeys, because they have a pouch. And the first time that she left them in the bag with the dad, who is Spice, she managed to get out, and unfortunately she drowned. They have an affinity to end up with water, and they can't swim, so that was really sad. But obviously then I had the babies, so I had to hand rear them. So I had to feed them every 2 hours, so I had a little timer. And when I was at work, I had them in a hot water bottle in a cage in the parking lot in the car, and I'd go down and feed them and then go back upstairs to work. So, but they're really lovely. I really like them. And then I have my fish tank, which is a tropical fish tank, and I have inherited a Plecostomus from my friend Joe, and he is huge. His name's Oscar, and he eats all the plants in the tank. And then I've just got 6 angelfish, a couple of tetras, a couple of zebrafish, 2 catfish, and 2 iridescent sharks, and 2 black widows.
And why do you think it is you have so many animals? How do they make you feel?
How do they make me feel? I love them, because they love me unconditionally. So if I'm having a bad day, they're not going to hold it against me. So they're very, very loving. I like animals probably because I've been brought up with lots of animals. I've always had animals. I have an affinity to animals, and I'm the kind of person that if there's a beetle or a spider or something, I won't kill it. I will try and save it and put it and set it free. So I have some sort of affinity to them.
So, yeah. Tell me a little bit more about your job then, about the setup of the Genome Project and how you came across it as well, how you got involved.
When I came over from South Africa, I was doing accounts and accounting. When I moved over, I decided I wanted to do a complete change, because I found that doing accounting, you seem to take it home with you. And having a small baby, I wasn't balancing it very well. So I decided I wanted to do something completely different. And there was an advertisement in the paper for a lab technician. No experience required, and I applied and I got it. And I've worked there since 2000. I have met many wonderful people there. The people there are really lovely. They're friendly and very, very helpful. So I started as a lab technician, and I worked my way up to a research assistant. Things are changing a lot at the moment. They got new techniques. They're using the whole Illumina techniques for the production of the DNA. I don't know what else to tell you about that. I don't really have a scientific background, so everything I've learned, I've actually learned through working at the Sanger Center. Which has helped with people being the way they are, really lovely. The campus is very, very friendly, very open. It definitely goes a long way in educating people. Lots of students come on site for work experience, and the schools come and they bring the smaller children through, and then we've got a department where they explain all the things that we do with the DNA in really basic terms, which I think is really, really wonderful because, you know, 20 years ago, not very many people knew a lot about DNA, whereas now, it's everybody knows, and everybody knows how important it is, and the research that we do is for the general public so that they can use that information to make medicines and cures and, you know, information that is useful, which will go a long way. So I'm really, really pleased to have been part of that.
And how about, can you tell a little bit about then about family life as well? I think, well, and spare time as well, if it's not taken up by animals.
No, it's not. My son Tegan is 12. I have a daughter, her name is Arielle Aurora. She doesn't live with me, she lives with her dad, by choice. She's a lovely girl. Her and Tegan unfortunately don't get on very well at all. So he's quite pleased that he has mum all to himself. He is in his second year in high school. Both my children are really artistic. They love painting. Unfortunately, Tegan likes painting so much that he's done drawings on the walls and ceilings since he was a tiny tot. Needless to say, paint jobs are often the requirement. He is very outgoing, but a very soft child, very helpful. So if I'm having a bad day, I'll say to him, give me 5 minutes, I need my space, and he'll go away, and then he'll come back and he goes, do you still need your space? Do you want a cup of tea? And he's a fantastic tea maker. We generally try and do things together, like going to natural history museums, to art museums, to the zoos and stuff together. So we do try and make Mum and Tegan time, which is good. I think I should make the most of it because when he gets a little bit older, he won't have time for me. He'll be too busy with his friends. My sister and I spend quite a lot of time together. She is studying a art degree in illustration degree at the Ruskin University in Cambridge. She's still working full time and she's doing her degree, so I admire her a lot for the time and effort that she puts into it, because working full time and running a home and studying for a degree is quite impressive. I am married. Not quite sure how it's going, if that makes any sense. So I don't really want to give you information on that. He is a lovely person, but he's very... misguided at the moment, I think is the right word for it. I'm hoping that we will resolve our issues, but if not, life goes on. He doesn't stay with us. He stays with his parents. I have lots of friends, lots of wonderful friends. And they fill my life with lots of things. I don't belong to one particular clique. So my friends are very diverse and varied. So some of them are into art, some of them into music, some of them are into gardening, some of them are just into DIY, you know, some of them are into a bit more funky stuff, you know, like fashion designing and stuff like that, which is really cool. Some of them are into scuba diving. I have a friend named Steph who used to work at the Wellcome Trust Genome Center, and she decided to go be a scuba instructor, so she is in Cyprus, and I see her every December. She comes home to stay with me, which is really cool. She also used to do skydiving, something I can't see myself doing. as much as I know I want to pack in as much as I possibly can. That is not one of them on my list. I just don't think I could jump out of a perfectly working airplane. I just can't do that. What else would you like to know?
Let's go back to the project and tell me how you're feeling just before you go up onto the plinth. What's the emotional experience been like from applying to being given the slot to preparing to actually being here?
When I applied, it was kind of like buying a lottery ticket, you know, no expectations. And then when I got, I think there were two parts that said, you haven't been chosen, but you'll go into next one. And I was like, okay, that's fine. And then I got one that said, well, you've been picked. And I was just like, I had to read it again. It was just like, Rachel's gonna kill me, because obviously we've done it together. And then I was a little bit nervous to tell her, because it was her suggestion in the first place. But then I told her, and she was so excited about it that her excitement got me all excited about it. So I have been excited about it since then. I am really nervous, because I'm not normally somebody who stands in the center of the spotlight, you know, in the center of attention. I'm normally one of those people who likes to create stuff and sit back and watch everybody else be in the center. So it is a bit nerve-wracking. And of course I'm scared that the canister's not going to work and the balloons are just going to pop. But yeah, and obviously this is going to be broadcast live, so my friends and family are going to see it. So yeah, I am, but I'm still excited.
Great, thank you very much.
Okay.